This has been a long year. A year of uncertainty, struggle, pain. We've watched a virus take countless lives. People we knew, people we loved. Jobs have been lost. Businesses have shut down. And churches have been forced to close their doors. We've witnessed division on an unprecedented level. Cities filled with violence. Streets filled with protesters. And we felt the sting of racism. The deep heartache of hate. There have been times where it's been difficult to see the hand of God. But even in the darkest of moments, He has been there, faithful, present, powerful. As a new year begins, we stand on a simple truth. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not grow faint. We don't know what this new year will hold, but we know that it's held by a God whose mercies are new every morning. This is where we place our trust. This is the truth on which we stand. This is our hope for the new year.
2020 has been a year that I don't think anyone really saw coming. And I can't say that I would be alone in saying that we're all probably pretty excited to turn our back on this year, to take whatever lessons we can learn and to move forward. The video that we just watched reminded us, I mean, even when we look back at everything that occurred in 2020, it's a little overwhelming when we think of all of the different issues that converged to make it just such a challenging year. It was a long year, full of uncertainty, struggle, and pain. We had the virus, we had political conflicts, we had experiences of injustice. But you know, even the things that don't make the news, we realize that many people are experiencing isolation. They're experiencing loss. And there's an overabundance of fear and concern, not just about the national and international issues, but often when we throw in our own challenges and the things that we're facing in our life, it may seem a little overwhelming or a lot overwhelming for you. You know, many people, I think, looking back as I've talked to people and heard interviews with people in recent weeks, I think many people are wondering, how much longer can we go on like this? When will things change? When will things get better? You know, as Christians even, I think sometimes even though we are told that we can place our lives in God's hands and we can trust Him and He's going to be there for us, He'll walk with us through the difficult times, even believers at times face these moments where we just say, how long? It's one of the reasons I love the Psalms, because you see these honest prayers to God, of just asking God, when are you going to do something? How long are we going to have to wait? You know, it's not uncommon, even for the faithful, to have moments where you ask those type of questions of God. And the verses that we're going to look at, the verse that was quoted at the end of the video from Isaiah 40, it begins, we're going back to verse 27. We're going to look at Isaiah 40, 27 through 31, the verse quoted at the end of the video. Because this first verse in Isaiah 40, 27, you see one of those honest expressions of just frustration and expressing your strong feelings toward God. And I think when we're honest, we realize that at some point in our life, we all can be in that place where we ask, God, where are you? What are you doing? When can we trust that things are going to get better? What I'd like us to do today is just walk through these familiar verses. They're probably familiar to many of you. They might be new to some. Because when we see in verse 27 this honest expression of frustration and just crying out to God, it ends, I mean, it's a typical lament, it ends with the reaffirmation that when we get our eyes fixed on God and His strength and His resources for us, that we can put our hope in God and renew our strength. We're going to unpack each of these verses, and my hope is as we close out this year, as we think about beginning this new year, that wherever we're at and whatever we're facing personally, that we would come to a place that we renew our hope in God and that we find our strength in Him. Isaiah 40:27 reads, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God?" These words being expressed are representative of Israel, and specifically referring to Jacob and Israel. This is God's chosen people who are now in a place of exile. They're crying out to God and saying, "My way is hidden from me, or hidden from you, and my right is disregarded from you." That those phrases are at the heart of what God's people in exile are expressing to God. And they paint this picture of hopelessness. That first phrase of expressing that my way is hidden from the Lord, that word, the way, we've often talked about this. If you've listened to my preaching or if you've tuned in much over the last few years, you know that the idea of the way is a way of life. It's literally a road, a path, or a journey. And so in those words, in this phrase, it's saying that my life, my journey, the journey and the steps that I'm taking, that God's not seeing it, that my way is hidden from the Lord. In that statement, there's an accusation. In that statement, there's an accusation saying, God, you don't see my life. You don't see the challenges that I'm facing. The second phrase, that my right is disregarded by God. That phrase, the right, may it's a little less used and maybe a little less familiar to you than the way, but my right is speaking about a decision or judgment or my cause. There's, in a sense, is a legal sense about injustice. It's our cause that we might be bringing to God and saying, do you see this offense? Do you see this pain? Do you see this situation that I'm facing? Or have you disregarded my cause? I write. The accusation here is that God doesn't care about my cause, that God doesn't care about my situation, God doesn't care about my pain. Again, even as you hear those words, it's why I often tell people when they're going through difficult times to go to the Psalms, because you see those honest prayers of frustration and often hopelessness and expressing these type of questions. But they always lead us to a place, the typical picture of a lament always leads us to a place of reaffirming our faith in God. Here in these verses, we know Israel, their situation is they're in exile. And the reality is the mess that they're facing, the situation, the pain, the struggle that they're facing, really in a lot of ways was self-inflicted. God allowed it. But the exile was something that God allowed because of Israel's consistent disobedience to God, and them consistently drifting away from God. And God wanted them to come to a place where they would not only return home to the promised land, but that they would return to Him and that God would have their hearts. That's the purpose of exile. But in these verses, they're crying out in that time of exile, saying, God, do you see what we're walking through? Do you see what we're facing? In this moment, as we look at everything that we faced over this last year or some of the challenges that you may be facing personally, you may be asking some of those same questions. And I want to encourage you to just walk with me as we continue through these verses, as we move from the complaint, as we move from the expression of our frustration and expression in a sense of hopelessness, that we follow the prophet's words here that remind us to take our eyes off of the situation, to take our eyes off of the problems and the challenges, and to fix our eyes on God. Isaiah 40, 28 through 29 continues, and this is the prophet's response. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. These words are there's a clear shift here. It's going from the cause or the complaint of asking God, are you not seeing what we're facing? Do you not care about what we're facing? To the word saying, well, look, with these rhetorical questions, have you not known? Have you not heard? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, that he is the creator of the ends of the earth, that he does not faint or grow weary, that his understanding is unsearchable, and that he gives, not only does he have all these things, but he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. We may be weak. We may be ready to give up. We may feel hopeless. But when we shift our eyes and our attention upon God, who is everlasting, who is all-powerful, who does not grow faint, and who desires to give his strength to his people, we know that there's the hope of renewed strength. Some of the words that stand out in these verses, again, is the Lord is the everlasting God. We know our lives are temporary, and yet God is eternal. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. Everything that we see and everything that we experience has its source in God, our creator. God is everlasting. He's eternal. He always was and he always will be. And he has created all things. He created you. Think about this for a moment. I mean, just think about even in your own life, how many times you look back and you see a situation maybe that you've didn't see a way out, you were facing a challenge and didn't know how you were going to get through it, and you look back and you realize that that difficult season really was only for a short time. But in the moment of that challenge, it seemed like it was going to go on forever. Think about our lives. Think about this year, 2020. Even though it may seem like a long time, put it in relation to eternity, a God who is eternal, who was and is and always will be. It's just a blip. Our problems are temporary. Our momentary challenges, in light of when we put them up next to a God who is eternal, who always was and who always will be, we realize that that momentary challenge is just that, a momentary challenge. The problems that we face are not too big for an eternal God in the creator of all things. It also says that he does not faint or grow weary, that he has a source of strength that is unlimited. I don't know about you, but the older I get, I'm coming up on about a month before I turn 50. And it seems like every year, I feel like even as much as I work to try to stay healthy, every year I feel a little less strength. When I get hurt, it takes me longer to heal. I don't have that youthful vitality that I had in my 20s. God, though, is described as one who does not faint or grow weary. In one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 121, the call to lift my eyes to the hills where my help comes from, in verse 4 it says, Psalm 121:4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God has no need for sleep because God does not grow weary. God does not in any way lose his strength and his resources, his power. These verses also, as we point our eyes towards God, we see that God's understanding is unsearchable. And this reminds us of what was Later in Isaiah, in verse 55, verses 8 through 9, the prophet says this. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." God's understanding is unsearchable. Our greatest wisdom and our greatest understanding is limited. And when we realize this, when we realize that God is everlasting, that he's creator of all things, he's strong, he's powerful, and his strength will never falter, and that his understanding is unsearchable, we realize that we don't have to rely on our own limited strength and resources and understanding. But we can renew our faith. We can wait upon the Lord, and we can trust him and his power and his wisdom. There's a clear contrast as we're told to take our eyes off of the problems and look to God and look in these moments of being reminded of who God is. It reminds us of just a few verses earlier in Isaiah 40, the description of humanity. And there's a clear contrast between humanity and how God is described in the verses we just read. In Isaiah 40, 7 through 8, it says, "The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever." There's a picture in those verses describing humanity, reminding us that every one of us, we're frail. Our lives are temporary. But we see in these words, we see in this chapter that God and his word are eternal and powerful. There's wisdom, there's strength, and there's power when we come to God and seek what we need from him. One of the awesome things about this chapter, though, is that it doesn't just give us this picture of who God is and his strength and compare his strength to our weakness or his wisdom to our lack of understanding. What we see in this is that God desires, not only is God described as powerful and strong, but it states that he shares these things with those who need it. These words that we just read says that he gives power to the faint. He increases the strength of those who have no might. When we're weak and we come to God and we seek his strength, he desires to give us his strength. He desires to give us the wisdom that we need to face whatever it is we're challenging. Whatever it is we need, God desires to give us those things when we surrender our lives and we come to him in dependence upon him. But too often we rely on our own strength and try to get through day by day, relying on our own strength and resources, and never tap into the resources that God wants to give us. That's to our own folly, and it's seen in the next verse in Isaiah 40, 30. It says, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted." These words are reminding us that even at our best, even in our greatest strength, we still will grow tired. Even the strongest young person will grow faint and weary. Even the strongest athlete, we know, eventually will lose their strength. But there's a contrast in these words, and this leads us to the promise. Isaiah 30 or 40, verse 30 again says, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted." Verse 31, that so important, critical, three-letter word, "but." But they who wait for the Lord, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God has this unlimited strength. He has this unlimited resources. He has unlimited wisdom. But for us to experience it, we have to wait upon him. We have to put our faith and our trust and our hope in him. For the promise is that if we wait for the Lord, we shall renew our strength. That word wait could be translated literally wait for, but it also carries that sense of hope. It's the idea of trust, putting our trust, our confidence in someone, especially with regard to the future. So it's putting our faith and trust in God, not only in the present moment, but that we're going to trust not only today, but tomorrow and our future in His hands. When we wait for the Lord, when we put our hope in Him, it's like we come to a point that we see even in Psalm 46:10, that idea of be still and know that I am God, that idea of stop striving, stop trying to do things in my own strength, and we relax and we put our confidence in God. We hope, we wait for Him, and we put our hope and our confidence in God to get us through the present moment and through the future things that we might be facing. When we do that in our life, when we wait for the Lord, when we put our hope in Him, there's a promise in these words that when we wait for the Lord, we shall renew, or He shall renew their strength. And this idea of renewal is the idea of to establish something to be new or improved. It's making it new or making it like new. If you buy something that's renewed, it means it may not be something new on the shelf, but it's something they took and they fixed it. It gives the appearance everything about it is new. It's just as good as it was. When we wait for the Lord, we have the promise that our strength will be renewed, not our strength itself, but that God's strength will flow through us. That God will give us everything that we need to face the challenges that we're facing. To reaffirm this, the prophet leaves us with three images. Three images that for the individuals who wait for the Lord, who put their hope in the Lord so that their strength is renewed. It says these things will happen. It says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we'll look at the second and third one first. You have an image of a runner or a walker. You know, I some of you know that I've tried to be a runner. When I talk to others who are runners and they talk about how much they enjoy it, I realize I'm not a runner because I run because it'll help me be healthy. But my favorite part of running is reaching the end of the run. Because I my strength just doesn't last. It's something I know I can train, I can improve. I just haven't gotten to a point where I want to do that. But, you know, the idea of running is we realize that it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of strength. And some of you in our congregation that are running marathons and stuff, it just blows me away of just how much you've improved in your strength. And yet even the strongest of you, there's a moment in the race where you're starting to get tired, where you need the race to finish because even the strongest will tire. But the promise in these words is, in this image of the runner, is they shall run and not be weary because they're not relying on their own strength, they're relying on God's strength. And for those that prefer to walk rather than run, they shall walk and not faint. That third image, though, which is first listed, that I want to leave us with today. We're being invited as we go into this coming year and realizing we don't know how much longer some of the things that we're facing, the challenges that we face right now, how long it's going to last. You may be going through personal challenges and not sure how long those things are going to last and not sure what tomorrow brings and how you're going to get through it. I want to challenge you to put your hope in the Lord, to wait for the Lord, and let Him renew your strength. The promise is that if we do that, that we will mount up with wings like eagles. One commentator described it this way, that the figure of the eagle's wings is that the soaring eagle is borne aloft not by his powerful wings, but by the wind's currents lifting rigid pinions, the feathers. And it gives us that picture that those waiting are prepared to be lifted up and carried aloft by the Spirit of God in His time and in His way. It's not the strength of the eagle's wings It's the wind. It's the wind lifting the eagle. And the eagle has to be in a position where the wind can carry it. For us to experience God's strength in our life, we need to come to a place where we put our full faith and our confidence in Him, that we make God our hope, and we let Him renew our strength so that His strength would be our strength. And we will have the promise that we will run and not be weary. We will walk and not be faint. We will mount up with eagle's wings. God has all that we need to face this coming year. He has all that we need to face today and tomorrow and 2021. The question is, will we focus our hope on Him and wait for the Lord and allow Him to renew our strength? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, there's no doubt that this year has been challenging. And I pray that beyond anything else, as we wrap up this year of 2020, as we prepare to go into 2021, I pray that as we look at the challenges that we face, that we'd be able to look back and see how You have worked, how You've provided for us. You've provided for us as a church. You've provided for us individually. Lord, help us to be reminded that we were not alone, that You were with us. But Lord, I pray that we would all, in this moment, as we prepare to close out 2020 and prepare for this new year, I pray that we would have our eyes fixed on You. Lord, You are the everlasting God. You are all powerful. Your strength and Your power never fades. Your wisdom is unsearchable, and we can come to You. We can put our hope in You. We can wait for You. And that when we do that, we have the promise that You will renew our strength. Lord, I pray that You would do that in each of our lives in this coming year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.